Well, as we come now well into this period of Advent, on the third Sunday of Advent, I'm going to be looking today at the introduction to Luke's Gospel as we prepare for the birth of Jesus, because the story of the baby in the manger actually began with another baby, and that other baby was John the Baptist. And just as Jesus had been prophesied in the Old Testament, so also had John the Baptist been prophesied in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, we read, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And I love the imagery that we see in the prophecy of Isaiah when it comes to the messenger going ahead and making the path straight for Jesus, the Messiah. We see that the mountains are made low and the valleys are raised up and the rough ways become smooth. So what that means is that there are no obstacles in the way of the Messiah coming, because the way has been totally straightened out. No mountains, no valleys, no rough places. Everything should therefore be smooth sailing. And really, it reminds us of the message of John in general that he had come to preach. That was the message of repentance and the baptism of repentance. Because in order to receive Jesus, we have to ensure that our lives are smooth plains that welcome the Lord into our hearts. That we clear out our life to turn to God and say, "Make way for Jesus." It's not that we deal with our own sin, but we clear out those perhaps mental and spiritual blockages that are stopping us from allowing Jesus to come and to work in our hearts and to turn to him in repentance. That we can say, "I've made the way smooth for Jesus to come into my heart." That's what we do when we repent. When we turn towards God, we open our hearts and allow him into them. John the Baptist's parents were those who in many ways were like Jesus's parents, Mary and Joseph. Elizabeth and Zechariah, we're told, were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly with him in the commandments and in the ordinances of the Lord. So we know that they were godly people, as Joseph and Mary were godly people. They were from good Israelite stock as well. They were descendants of Aaron, Moses's brother. But they had a struggle. They were without children. And we're now going to look at the 3 points for today, then, from this passage. They are: 1, faithful; 2, faltered; and 3, fulfilled. Faithful, faltered, fulfilled. So point 1 then, faithful. Sadly, in those days, people looked down on barrenness in women. But the New Testament shows that this attitude was wrong. It was the attitude which Elizabeth faced for being older in years and not having borne a child. But the New Testament shows us that no sin had been committed. God had a purpose for Elizabeth, and what we have in Zechariah and Elizabeth ultimately are older parents who have walked faithfully with the Lord and who are truly thankful for the child that is given to them. So God knew that John would be looked after well by Zechariah and Elizabeth. You see, even though Zechariah and Elizabeth had this constant struggle in their married life, they still got on and were faithful to God and followed his commandments and followed his ordinances. And Zechariah served as a priest in the temple. As hard as it can be, and it can be harder for some than others, God calls us to continue to trust him. Even though times of hardship come, he calls us to keep our faith in him and who he is, and he promises to us that he is faithful. So that's point 1, faithful. Point 2, faltered. We see Zechariah falter in this passage. The angel Gabriel comes and he announces this incredible news to Zechariah, and it's just too much for Zechariah to take in. And we see that he can't seem to trust what Gabriel has said. He doesn't think it's actually going to come true. He says, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." It's a bit amusing, really, isn't it, to think that, hang on a minute, an angel of God has just appeared to you, Zechariah. And surely that shows that God is certainly real and is powerful. And yet Zechariah still asks this angel, how can this happen? Simply because he and Elizabeth are older parents. The message is, I suppose, that if God gives us a sign, we need to go with it. We need to trust him and continue to be faithful. Sometimes people have seen it as a bit harsh that Zechariah, when he asks a question of Gabriel, loses his voice. When Mary, in the following chapter, when the birth of Jesus is announced to her, asks the question, how will this happen? And seems to get away with it. Well, one thing which can be seen in the NIV version, which is helpful, is that Zechariah asked a question, how can? How can I be sure of this? How can this happen? Whereas Mary asked the question, how will? How will this happen? Since I'm a virgin. She believes God will do what he said, but she's simply wanting to know the method. Since she's a virgin, how is she going to have a baby? And God tells her that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her and the child will be born. But Zechariah's question comes with doubt, and that's why he gets into trouble with Gabriel, who tells him quite surely, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. We can falter at times, like Zechariah, but what is important is what comes then in point three, which is fulfilled. The message of this passage is that even though Zechariah faltered, even though we falter in our lives, God is always faithful and he always fulfills what he says he's going to do. He will do what he says, he will fulfill his promises despite our faltering, despite our failings, despite our faithlessness. They will not ultimately get in the way of God fulfilling his will and his plan. John the Baptist was born, Elizabeth rejoiced, and Zechariah got his voice back. And not only did those things happen, but John did go and prepare people's hearts to receive Jesus. He did live in the way that is described in this passage, where it says, he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, that he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John was going to be a person and was a person who would enable everyone's ears to prick up and to listen to the things of God and to get ready for the coming of the Messiah. That is exactly what God had promised and that is exactly what happened. So how might we apply these things to our lives today? Faithful. God calls us to keep going in times of uncertainty. And we are in times of uncertainty. Once again, we have a new coronavirus variant, the Omicron variant or the Omicron variant, however you want to pronounce it. And there may at this time be other forms of uncertainty in your life as well. And at this time, as followers of Jesus, God calls us to persevere. He doesn't call us to tough it out on our own. He calls us to remember that ultimately he is good and ultimately he has a plan and that in the end there will be a good ending. Faltering. We need to remember the attitude of Mary before God. How will this happen? Rather than how can this happen? Like Zechariah, we need to remember that God is more than able to do the things he says and the things he promises. We can't just treat him like any other human being who makes promises and then doesn't abide by them. When we falter, God still fulfills. So fulfilling. God will always fulfill his word and his promises, in spite of anything that we might do or not do, or believe or not believe. God is sovereign. And that is the message that we have from this passage, that our job in the midst of God's sovereignty is to continue to persevere in faith, holding on to the fact that God is in control. He knows what he's doing, and he has a plan. Let's pray. Father God, there may be many ways and many situations in our lives where we kind of like to give up at the moment because things just seem so uncertain and so difficult. But Lord, help us to know that ultimately you are in control and you have a plan. Help us to trust in the goodness of God. Help us to be steadfast in our faith in you. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with us. We thank you, Lord, that you had a plan for Zechariah and for Elizabeth. They went through many difficult times in their lives. They went through lots of rejection up until that point where you blessed them with the birth of John the Baptist. Lord, we don't know right now what plans you might be preparing for us to be a part of in the future. But Lord, just give us that hope in you and that desire and motivation to keep going at this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.